Hey everyone, and welcome to the All It Takes Is Gold podcast, the best place in the entire world, including all of Canada, to learn how to build new thoughts, new actions, and new results. I'm your host, John Acuff, and today we're talking about perfectionism. Why are we talking about perfectionism? Because since 2015, I've helped 29,417 people with their goals, and it's one of the biggest obstacles you'll ever face. Perfectionism is a poison that pretends to be a vitamin. We act sometimes like it's a character trait. You know how in meetings, like or interviews, job interviews, people go, oh, what's my weakness? Oh, I care too much about the job. People say that sometimes I just care so much. We say the same thing about perfectionism, like, oh, like I'm just such a perfectionist. But it's really just fear dressed up in a tuxedo. It's fancy fear. And if you deal with it, it's a lot easier to accomplish every goal you care about. This is week two in our series about perfectionism. If you haven't heard the previous week, we'll link it in the show notes. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, fear not. You don't have to listen to the other episode to get a ton out of this one. Each episode is designed to be standalone. Today, in today's episode, we're going to cover four more signs you're a perfectionist. Last week, we did the first four signs. Today, we're doing the four other signs, four more signs. And you're going to love this episode. But first, let's hear a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Quick question. What if you could guarantee the success of your goals? No, seriously. The book you want to write? Guaranteed. The business you want to start? Guaranteed. The exercise plan you want to stick with? Guaranteed. What if no goal was off limits? It's possible with the Guaranteed Goals community. The Guaranteed Goals community is my first ever membership program where you'll find the courage, connection, and most importantly, the community you need to win all your goals. Ever since I started hosting online challenges with tens of thousands of people from around the world, the number one request people sent me was for a private, non-Facebook community where we can all work on our goals together. That's why I created the Guaranteed Goals community on a user-friendly platform where you won't be overwhelmed with endless dance videos, silly reels, and dog memes. Inside this community, in addition to learning my fail-proof formula for achieving goals, you'll get access to a massive course library, check-ins with my team for accountability, the chance to win awesome prizes, 12 VIP Q&A sessions with me, the ability to team up with other members who are working on similar goals as you, and so much more. A year from now, I want you to be thankful for the way you invested in yourself and your goals today. Join me at acuff.me/goals. That's acuff.me/goals. I'll see you there. All right, let's jump into it. Last week, we covered the first four signs you might be struggling with perfectionism. The first four signs you are a perfectionist. If you missed that episode, here's what they are. Number one, unreasonable expectations. So perfectionism will tell you, you should be an instant expert, or you should be amazing at something you've never done before. And I say just the opposite. One of the soundtracks that I talk about a lot is, you should be brave enough to be bad at something new. Or dare I say, you should be brave enough to suck at something new. It's new. You've never done it. You shouldn't be good at it. But perfectionism, that's the first sign, unreasonable expectations. The second sign, impossible timeframes. So this is the idea that it should be going faster. The progress should be faster. You should be achieving this faster. No matter how long it takes you to achieve something, perfectionism will say, I think you probably could have done that quicker. I think you could have saved some steps and maybe even done it faster. That's the second sign. Third sign, comparison. This is the belief that everybody else is perfect but me. And comparison isn't new. We've always had this mentality of the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but with social media, it gave us access to 10 million backyards. Have you ever thought about that? We've always thought the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Now we just have access to 10 million backyards. You can compare yourself to somebody in a city you've never been to. Like, maybe you've never been to LA, but you can feel inadequate about somebody who's living their life in LA because of social media, and perfectionism gets really, really loud with comparison. And the fourth sign that you're a perfectionist, that you're struggling with perfectionism, is an inability to celebrate. You can't celebrate. Perfectionism is unable to celebrate because it's never satisfied. Of course, it's not satisfied. It always thinks, you know what? You could have done that just a little bit better. Perfectionism is never done. Perfectionism will never say to you, great job. You did it. You finished. That was exactly what I was hoping it would be. No, perfectionism always says it could have been better. It should have been better. It should have been different. It's always pushing you. So it can never stop and celebrate and say, good job. Those are the four signs. Do any of those feel familiar? Any of those that you would say, oh yeah, that's me. I think number one and number two are the ones I struggle with the most. Unreasonable expectations and impossible timeframes. I get so frustrated with myself when I'm unable to accomplish 3 days worth of work in a single day. Like, I'll have a to-do list that would really, if I'm being honest, take 3 or 4 days to accomplish, and I'll want to try to get it all done in one day. And then I act mad at the end of the day. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't do that. That's the definition of an unreasonable expectation. My to-do list is often a minefield of perfectionism. Now, today, we're going to talk about the other four signs you struggle with perfectionism. There's another four. So 4 plus 4, it's a total of 8. I did the simple math for you. I went ahead and did that in my head. Didn't even use paper. Here's sign number 5 that you're dealing with perfectionism. Perfectionism leads to burnout. Perfectionism leads to burnout. Perfect is impossible. I mean, deep down, we all know that, right? Like, logically, we know that. But let's pretend for a second that you achieved it. You wrote the perfect blog post. You had the perfect workout. You perfectly cleaned your kitchen. I mean, every inch. You got down to like the tile grout level with like a toothbrush, and you were like, you were doing the whole thing. You cleaned stuff, like you emptied out the crumbs in the toaster. Like, you got inside the coffee maker and cleaned it. One of the things I like to pretend is that at hotels, they clean the little Keurig that's in your hotel room. Every time they change the sheets, they come in and they scrub it. That's a lie I tell myself, because I'm going to drink that coffee. I'm not a snob. Like, I'm going to, if it's the only coffee I have access to, I'm going to totally drink the coffee in the hotel room. But let's say you perfectly clean your kitchen. Whatever you were attempting was perfect. In that moment, perfectionism will tell you that the impossible, the rare, the lottery ticket moment where everything comes together is now the new standard. From here on out, that's the expectation. You just have to be perfect every single time. Even saying that out loud feels a little exhausting to me, because you know where it's going to lead, right? It's going to lead to burnout. If you listen to perfectionism for very long, it always leads to burnout. We all know what that feels like too, right? My favorite description of burnout comes from Tolkien in a line that Bilbo Baggins says in The Lord of the Rings. I'm such a nerd. I know, right? Am I quoting Bilbo? I am. This is a line that the second I heard it, it became my new definition of burnout. Here's what Bilbo says. He says, quote, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." Oh, Tolkien, that's brilliant. It's such a great description. Like butter scraped over too much bread. If you ever feel burned out, there's probably some perfectionism at play. I was talking to a friend recently who had struggled with some burnout. And I said, how'd you know? Like, what was the sign you were burned out? And he said, well, one of my eyes just swelled shut. And I was like, That's a pretty good sign. As far as signs go, if your body, like if your eye goes, nah, I'm just going to swell shut until you stop doing all of this, that's probably a good sign. Like mine, there's been times in my life where the eye will twitch. Like one of my eyelid would like go to rave mode and just like twitch super fast. And it was stress related because I was about to burn out. Another sign for me that I'm on way to burnout is I just start making questionable food decisions. Like I remember one time I was on the road. I just had a ton of work. I was traveling a bunch and I went to a Taco Bell, and I put this story in a book, and it's not an exaggeration. This actually happened. I ordered so much Taco Bell that when I put the bag into the seat next to me, like the passenger seat, it set off the seatbelt alarm. Like the Kia Soul is a rented Kia Soul, was like, hey, I think there's a passenger in this seat. Whatever is sitting here is so heavy, it needs to be buckled in. And I was like, oh, that's a low moment when you've ordered so much fast food that it sets off the seatbelt alarm. Whew, that was a sign of burnout for me. I was so exhausted. I was so tired. I was running thin that I was just like making very questionable food decisions. Perfectionism always leads to burnout. The sixth sign that you're dealing with perfectionism is that perfectionism turns the starting line into a wall. If you've ever run a race, I've run a bunch of half marathons. I've never done a full marathon. I don't know if I ever will. Like, I'm a pretty compulsive goal guy where, like, if I do it a little, I end up doing it a lot in most areas of my life. But for some reason, I don't feel this compulsion or pressure to do a full marathon. I'm not sure why. But if you've ever run a race, you know that you don't have to climb over a wall to begin, like maybe in Tough Mudder or an obstacle course. But in the average 5K, half marathon, 10K, full marathon, you don't climb over a wall to begin. The starting line is just a line on the ground. You barely notice it. But whenever you think about starting a new goal, perfectionism will get loud and say, whatever you do, make sure you start perfectly. For instance, let's say that you decide to get in shape. We did a big study. We asked my entire audience what goals they're excited about. And 60% of the people who filled out the survey said they have a health and an exercise goal. That's awesome. So let's use that as an example, because that represents a lot of y'all. It's a great goal. But perfectionism will come in and fire 100 questions at you. Perfectionism will say, well, I mean, what type of exercise will you do? Will you join a gym? Which gym? How many days a week will you go? What are you going to do for like shoes? Where are you going to buy your workout shoes? Do you have a brand? Are you going to do with Reebok or Brooks or Saucony? Like, what are you going to buy? Are you going to go to Fleet Feet? Like, what are you going to do? And then perfectionism will say, ooh, I mean, if you're really going to do it, if you're going to go for it, you better research a few gyms in the area to make sure you don't pick the wrong one. I mean, what if you pick the wrong gym? Oh, speaking of gyms, what if you track every time you go to the gym with an app? Like, which app will you use? Do you have an app picked out already? Do you have the right supplements? There's so many different supplements. Remember that podcast you heard about how much water you need to drink? Have you researched how much water you need to drink? Should you sign up for a race? Is there a race in your area? What kind of race? When is the race? What if you researched race etiquette so you knew how to really race? Like, what if you researched races in a tri-state area before you walked a lap around your neighborhood? I mean, if you're going to do this thing, you should do it right. What if you got a stationary bike? Which one though? I mean, there's a lot of options. I just Googled stationary bike and there were 34.5 million results. Can you feel the starting line growing taller and taller and more difficult to get over? Suddenly, what was just a simple starting line, I'm going to take a 10-minute walk around the neighborhood, has turned into this massive barrier of research and doubt and insecurity and detail. There's a saying in construction, measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. That's a great principle, and it prevents a lot of waste. Perfectionism, though, and overthinking gets in the mix on this one too, comes in and says, measure 100 times, almost cut. Wait a second. Wait. Are we sure we're ready to cut? Let's measure it again. Let's measure it 101 times. Perfectionism always turns the start into this monumental thing that is so difficult. That's what perfectionism loves to do. It loves to make the start a really difficult task. The seventh thing that perfectionism does, perfectionism makes you fix fictional problems. Perfectionism will tell you to solve problems that haven't even happened yet. For example, starting a small business. When I thought about hiring people, because I've got a small business, I've been in business for 10 years. That's wild to think about. I started my business in 2013. It's 2023. That's wild to me. I've had a business for 10 years. When I started it and I thought about hiring people, perfectionism told me, what are you going to do when you have to fire somebody? Have you thought about that? I mean, what are you going to do? That's going to be so terrible. You're going to have to do that thing where you call them to your office on like at 4 o'clock on a Friday for a meeting and everybody knows that's when you get fired. Nothing good happens in a meeting at 4. This is going to be brutal. Perfectionism told me things like that. Now, granted, I hadn't even hired anyone yet. I was a long way away from even hiring anyone, and perfectionism was telling me to come up with a solution for a fictional problem. Okay, you've got to solve this problem that could happen someday. Parents, you do that too. Like us, we parents do that all the time. where you'll meet somebody be like, man, I'm just, I don't know what college my kid's going to get into. Like, how are they going to have friends when they're in college? And you go, what grade are they in? They're like seventh. They're in seventh grade. And today you're trying to fix whether or not they'll have friends in college. Like, oh, you've got time. That's a fictional problem right now. That's something that trips up every would-be author as well. People sometimes tell me, John, I want to write a book, but I'm terrified of what'll happen if someone writes a one-star review about it. Like, oh, I don't want to get a one-star review. The book isn't finished yet. In most cases, the person hasn't even started writing, but every time they think about writing, perfectionism says, before you do, you better come up with a plan for how you'll handle criticism. I see people like that when it comes to like fear that somebody will steal their ideas. They'll go, I was going to share some ideas online, but I don't want anybody to steal them. I don't want people to steal them. They haven't even finished the idea yet, and they're already worried about like copyright law. It kind of reminds me of a joke that Nate Bargatze does about his friends who want to work out. Have you watched his latest special on Amazon? Oh, it's so good. So good. He just performed at Bridgestone here in Nashville. It's an arena. He's doing arena shows. Man, he's fantastic. So he has this joke, and it's from a couple specials ago. I'm going to butcher it. But he essentially says that one of his friends told him, yeah, I'd get serious about the gym and I'd work out, but I don't want to have to buy new clothing. And he was like, why don't you do like a push-up first before you worry that you're going to get so muscular you'll have to buy clothing that's new for your new body. That's what we do when we dream about fictional problems and refuse to start today. I guarantee that whenever you think about your goal, your dream, there are some far out fictional problems that perfectionism brings up. Here's another one. I'll meet parents that'll say, I want to start a side hustle, but I don't want to abandon my kids and be like one of those workaholic parents that's never around. They haven't spent an hour on the thing yet. And they're already saying, man, if I do a side hustle, it's going to take up so much of my time. It's going to be such a big issue. Like I won't be able to balance both that and my day job. You haven't done an hour yet. Like, go get that problem. That's actually a good problem to have. Like, go get that problem. Crush so well, like do so much work, be so successful that you have to figure out how to balance multiple things. You don't have that problem yet. It's fictional right now. The eighth and final thing that perfectionism does is perfectionism cripples community. You can't be part of a community if you're listening to perfectionism. It's just impossible. You can't be part of a community if you're stuck with perfectionism. Because one of the things it tells you is that everyone else has it all figured out except you. Everybody else does. The rest of the entire world has a manual for what it takes to be a successful adult except for you. We all got this rule book when we were born, except for you. Have you ever felt that way? When you feel that way, you worry that your progress is too messy, your life is too scattered, and your challenges are too big to invite anyone else in, so you hide it and you don't have community. To me, that's one of the best parts of the Guaranteed Goals community, this online private community I created for people that are working on their goals. So what happens is, like when a mom who feels overwhelmed and has 10 goals and she can't find any time for them, and sometimes she feels even guilty working on personal goals. She's like, I really know that this time should go to my kids and not me. I only deserve 4 minutes of me time a quarter. I try to get 16 minutes of me time a year. Like she just feels stressed and overwhelmed. She'll post that in the group. So she'll share that in the group and go, hey, here's what's going on. And because it's private, because it's off of Facebook, it's on this thing called Mighty Networks. There's an app. It's amazing. But she'll share that, and then a dozen other people will share their stories too. There's this really powerful feeling to knowing it's not just me. You ever experienced that? Where you're brave enough to share something, and then somebody else, a friend, a family member, a coworker goes, oh, yeah, I feel that way too. You can check out the Guaranteed Goals community at acuff.me/goals, acuff.me/goals. If you avoid all types of community when it comes to your goals, it might be more than just being an introvert. Like I'm an introvert. That sometimes surprises people, but I am. So I get the idea of the value of being alone. But sometimes perfectionism comes in and it ruins your shot at community because it tells you that everyone else has perfect. They've got it all together and you're the only one who doesn't. So you end up isolated. So let's roll through those 8 signs of perfectionism one last time. Number 1, unreasonable expectations. Number 2, impossible time frames. Number 3, comparison. Number four, you have an inability to celebrate. You can't celebrate. Number five, burnout. We all know what burnout feels like. Number six, starting lines that feel like walls. It makes this massive first step that you have to do perfectly before you begin. Number seven, fictional problems. You try to fix a problem that doesn't even exist yet. And number eight, a lack of community. Just spend a few minutes writing down which ones you deal with the most. Like maybe you wrote down one or two already. Maybe when you heard that list, you thought, oh, those all apply to me. Don't worry if you went 8 for 8. I'm going to teach you two tools in next week's episode. Two tools. That's a tongue twister. Next week's episode, two different things I'm going to teach you that'll help you no matter how loud perfectionism is in your life. I'll show you how to build a base. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. How do you build a base for your goal? You need a base. And how to get a 1% win. Those are the two things we're going to talk about. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll put all the links in the show notes as always. And thank you for reviewing my podcast. Here's one from 10$7. I don't think that's his real name. I'm just getting this feeling that I don't think that's his real name, but that's what they put in the podcast review. So that's what I'm going to quote. Maybe for all I know, maybe you've got a parent. Maybe that's a family name. You're like 10$7. Yeah, it's a family name, you jerk. Why don't you respect how our family names kids? I don't know. The title of it, the review was Time Well Spent. And it said, this is the one podcast I never delete without listening to first. Acuff is upbeat, encouraging, and lovably goofy as he strives to make his listeners not just better leaders, but better people. His guests are interesting and inspiring and relevant. I write down at least one I must remember this nugget of perfection from every podcast. You know what? I'll take that 10$7, lovably goofy. I guess I am goofy. Fair enough. Thank you for saying that. Thank you to everyone who writes reviews. Please keep those coming. They're super encouraging. And please make sure you subscribe or follow so that you don't ever miss another episode. I'll see you next Monday. And remember, all it takes is a goal.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about the All It Takes is a Goal podcast and to get access to today's show notes and exclusive content from John Acuff, visit acuff.me/podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode of the All It Takes is a Goal podcast.